I'm a 46-year-old male, and while I wouldn't say I've had a life of danger and intrigue, I have worked a handful of unusual jobs. I've traveled a good bit, and have some interesting life experiences. I've also inherited some strange traits from my father, which attracts weirdos, crazies, and the troublemakers. I don't know if it's my appearance or just some sort of aura, but if I'm in a crowd and there's a mentally unstable homeless person in the vicinity, you can damn well bet that they're going to approach me. When I tell people this, they often think that I'm kidding or exaggerating, but those who are around me long enough will eventually find out that it's all true. Over the years, I've amassed a collection of stories, most of them being humorous, strange, and just interesting tales. But I do have a few stories that are just downright scary. Today, I would like to share one of those with you. On a final note before I begin, I've included some details in this story that may seem unrelated to the incident itself. My reasoning for doing so is not only because I think the setting and context are significant, but also because I've got more stories from this awful period in my life. This will make a lot more sense once you hear the story. Now let the fun begin. Back in the early 2000s, I was living in the city of Pittsburgh and worked as a credit manager for a rental company. A few years prior, I had foolishly dropped out of college and was living in an apartment that I couldn't really afford. Bills were starting to pile up. I needed to find a job with a decent wage. A friend contacted me and told me that he was leaving his job. The company would be looking for a replacement. When he first told me about the job, I naively thought the company rented out furniture and appliances to businesses just for events, and once they were finished renting the items, they would conveniently be returned. How hard could that be? Boy, was I in for a rude awakening. After I got hired, I found out that the company's business model was to rent to own, and they preyed on welfare recipients and people with low incomes. The cheap rental rates for furniture, TVs, stereos, and appliances were enticing to those who couldn't afford such things. But unbeknownst to the renters, the items would take years to pay off. These people would end up paying 10 times more than what the item was really worth. My job title was just a fancy name for a repo man. If someone couldn't pay or refused to pay, it was my job to hunt them down and repossess those items. Oddly, out of all the insane situations that I'd encountered while out repoing in the projects, this occurrence actually took place behind the store on my day off. It's important to note that generally, when you see a rent-to-own store, it's either or near a rough neighborhood. Usually, they're located conveniently near one of those payday loan stores or a token liquor store. The shopping plaza where we were located wasn't in that bad of an area, but it was closest to the shopping center to the nearby projects. I'd heard a rumor that the plaza's large parking lot was a hotbed for drug activity. And while it wasn't that uncommon to see multiple lit up police cars in the lot, I never knew if it was just drug bust or maybe just crackheads shoplifting. Now, being this was my day off, work was the last place that I wanted to be, but the van that I drove at the time was having engine troubles. So when my shift ended on the previous night, I left the van in the back of the store and then got a ride from a coworker who lived nearby. The plan was to get a ride back to the store in the late morning, bring my tools and work on the van, and hopefully get it back up and running. I remember that it was actually a beautiful summer day, which is pretty rare in Pittsburgh, so I was happy at least that I didn't have to work out in the rain. The back of the store looked like your typical loading dock area that you would see at any shopping plaza throughout the US. The plaza itself was fairly large and roughly 300 yards long. Across from the loading docking area was where all these stores kept their dumpsters. Beyond the dumpsters, there's overgrown weeds and bushes, then railroad tracks, and eventually, a wooded area that ran along the Monongahela River. Our store was located smack dab in the middle of that shopping center. I ended up getting there a little later than I wanted to. My van was high enough that I didn't need to jack it up, so I threw down some cardboard and just got immediately to work. There were some preliminary things that I had to do before I got to whatever the real, actual problem was, so I didn't really get things apart until by afternoon. And by then, it was moving back and forth between the driver's seat and the space between the van. Hours ticked by, and soon, the sun was starting to go down. I don't remember exactly how long I was under there or had been working, but I remember that I was in the driver's seat, trying to get the van started. At this point, I thought I had it pretty much pegged. I was pulling myself out from underneath the van. I heard distant running footsteps. I stood up and saw this skinny dude about 75 yards away from me, running toward me. Aside from the immediate thinking that it was an odd place to be out for a jog, I didn't think much more of it. As he got closer to me, I nodded and said hi. But when he looked at me, it was the look of pure fear and panic. This man wasn't jogging, he was full on sprinting. He was younger than I initially thought. Maybe he was in his mid-20s and he was casually dressed, but they definitely weren't clothes that you'd wear while jogging. Completely confused, I just stood there, watched him run toward the dumpsters and then disappear. While it was odd, you usually don't see people in the back of the plaza. I was used to seeing weirdos and the occasional river people, or just homeless people who camped out near the riverbank. I shrugged it off and decided to get back to work. Around 30 seconds later, I hear footsteps once again. I see another man running toward me. As he approached, I could tell this man was bigger and maybe in his late 30s. He had a beard and was wearing a hat. There's something about him that was a lot more intimidating though. I'm 6'2" and at the time, I weighed about 215 pounds. People often said that I looked intimidating, to which you kind of had to at the job that I was at, but it only took one look from this man to know that he wasn't somebody to f*** with. Once he was within about 10 yards from me, he yelled, "Where is he? Where'd he go?" Without hesitation, I quickly pointed towards the dumpsters. Looking back, I felt like a pushover, just doing what this stranger told me to do. But there was this assertiveness about this guy that just made me instantly comply. This is where it starts to get crazy. Together with the bearded man walking just slightly behind me, I began to head over toward the dumpsters, which were maybe 25 yards away. Thinking by now that skinny guy was long gone, probably deep in the wooded area near the river, I was just going to point out in the general direction to where he ran. But as we approached the dumpsters, I noticed a crouching figure behind one of them. And all of a sudden I hear, "Get the f*** out here now." When I turned around, I saw that bearded man. He was now a few feet away from me, aiming a gun directly at skinny guy. Dumbfounded, I just stood there, frozen, as if I couldn't process what was all going on. Skinny guy stands up and hesitantly walks towards the bearded man, who grabs him and shouts to him immediately. He throws him onto the pavement. I was soon snapped out of my frozen state by the sound of screeching tires. At the opposite end of the plaza, maybe 150 yards away, I turned to see a pickup fishtailing around the bend, headed straight for us at full speed. It was at this moment I realized I needed to get the hell out of this situation, instead of just standing there with my mouth hanging open. I ran back toward my van and just hid behind it. I see the pickup truck slam on its brakes just a few feet away from skinny guy on the ground. Two armed men get out of the truck. Another armed man jumps down from the back of the truck. All the men were yelling angrily. Two of the men grab skinny guy and yank him up off the ground. They drag him to the back of the pickup, and at gunpoint, one of them yells, "Get in the f***ing truck!" They made skinny guy lie down, face first, on the truck bed. At this point, you can no longer see him. Two of the men get inside the cab, while the other two, still with guns drawn, climb back into the truck bed. As they're about to leave, the two men in the truck bed hunch down and try to look less conspicuous. While I could no longer see their guns, it was obvious by the way that their arms were extended. They still had their guns aimed at the skinny guy's head. They sped off and disappeared around that bend. For a split moment, I just stood there in disbelief, wondering what the hell I just witnessed. It all happened so fast. After the bearded man drew his gun, it seemed like from his perspective, I no longer even existed. Who the hell were those guys? They members of some criminal organization or drug dealers? Maybe they were even undercovers for the DEA. I thought of the possibilities that maybe they were even dirty cops. You'd think if they were law enforcement or DEA, they would have at least announced it and talked like cops or maybe even used handcuffs. Yet if they were criminals, they sure seemed organized. Didn't seem to care about waving their guns around either. Nor did they care about the fact that I was witnessing all of it. Shortly after I had these thoughts and they ran through my head, I ran into the store to tell my coworkers what just happened. I honestly can't remember who was all there that day. but I distinctly remember two of my co-workers who were there. We'll call them Sarah and Mark to protect their identities. Sarah was the receptionist. Mark was the store manager. When I told them everything that just happened, they were both said something to the effect of, "Damn, that's crazy." Yet it was like they couldn't comprehend the severity of what really happened. It wasn't like they completely shrugged it off, but they didn't seem to be as shocked as I was. It was absolutely wild to me the difference in our reactions. They were just pretty much focused on closing down. I was out back, frontline to the chaos. It was a perfect dichotomy. I thought maybe it was because everyone in this godforsaken place had become so numb to the insanity. Used to hearing crazy stories from the so-called road dogs like myself. Honestly, they probably weren't all that surprised to hear the people behind the store were waving guns around. After seeing their underwhelmed reactions, I regained my composure and went back outside to finish working on my van. About a half an hour later, I saw two men slowly walking behind the dumpster area, where the pavement ended and the weeds began. Occasionally, they would stop and look through the weeds and bushes, and eventually made their way onto the railroad tracks, still looking as if they were searching for something. They weren't there for very long, and after a few minutes of looking around, they just walked away and disappeared. After that, I never heard or saw from any of those guys ever again. To this day, I don't know why I didn't report any of this incident to the police. I guess a part of me suspected they were somehow involved. My theory was the armed men were undercover cops, either police or DEA. They'd staged a drug deal and were running surveillance on one. And then they tried to arrest the skinny guy, or else maybe he grew suspicious and that's why he fled the scene. After fleeing, the skinny guy stashed or tossed the drug somewhere, hence the guy who were looking around afterwards. That seems to be the most plausible scenario. Yet another part of me has some doubts about it all. Something about the whole thing was just off, and while it's not like the incident haunts my conscience on a daily basis or anything, sometimes I do get this guilty feeling, as if I ratted that skinny guy out and sent him to his death. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'll never know. I ended up quitting that job almost a year later. I worked there for 3 years, and toward the end, I began to notice that I'd become very cynical, mean, and depressed. I also became a heavy drinker, among other things, and I knew I had to get out of that place and find a new path, which thankfully eventually I did. Anyhow, I've tried to bury and forget most of these memories from that time in my life, but there were a few repo incidents that I can't forget. Like the time I almost had to jump out of a second-story window, or the time I had to hide from a customer's psychotic husband. If there's anyone interested in these stories, leave a comment. Life is pretty busy these days, so it may take me some time, but I enjoy writing and have plenty to write about. Thanks for listening.
Back in my senior year of high school, I worked at a local gas station to help my mom and brother with rent. It definitely wasn't the best paying job, but it helped us get by to the point where we were in a much better financial position than we were. While on the job, you definitely had to deal with many issues with customers, especially during the night. These types of customers usually ranged from the drunk types to the more aggressive types. Thankfully, the area I worked at was relatively safe, so I mainly got people who came in wanting a beer or a midnight snack. There was this one night, however, that will never leave me. It is absolutely true, and it's something that definitely chilled me to the bone. I had been scheduled to work one night as the person who was supposed to be working had called out. This made me annoyed, as it was supposed to be my day off, but in the end, the night shifts were relatively chill. I drive over to work at around 8 p.m. and began my shift as usual by clocking in. I'd say right away, several customers came in, mostly paying for gas or a quick drink. On this night, the same routine happened, and it wasn't until 11-ish where people would stop coming in as the night would die down. Fast forward till around 2 a.m. I'm behind the counter playing Sudoku to pass time when I see a car pull in. I think nothing of it and just assume it's probably someone wanting a snack or something. However, I then see a woman step out of the driver's side, looking up at the security camera. She seemed to be around her early 30s, wearing nothing but a sweater and some jeans. The way she stared at the camera, though, just seemed like she was watching it for no apparent reason. After a good minute, she then walks into the store and right away starts talking to herself. I couldn't really make out as to what she was saying, but if I had to say, it sounded like she was talking about a person named John. I just minded my business and figured that she had some sort of mental disorder. In fact, my cousin suffered from something similar, so it immediately hit close to home. She walks around, seemingly cautiously, around the shelves while biting her nails, as if she were worried about something. Part of me wanted to ask if she needed help, but the other part of me didn't. Eventually, she casually picks up a candy bar, and I gladly ring her up while telling her the total. However, she doesn't get out a credit card or even cash, and just stands there looking dead at me while talking about this John guy. I'm not really sure what it was, but there was something about her eyes and nose that gave off such an eerie feeling, not to mention that she kind of looked like the girl from the Ring movie. After what felt like hours, I just said that she could take the candy as I didn't want the situation to be more awkward than it already was. With that, she finally left and got in her car, driving off in what seemed like a hurry. For the next 2 hours, I waited until my shift was over when the person working after me had come in. It was around 5 a.m. and had gone home to go to sleep and woke up at around 12 to several missed calls from an unknown number. The thing that struck me the most was this one and only voicemail that was left. I put it on speaker and instantly became shocked when I hear the same voice of the woman repeatedly saying John louder and louder. This was followed by a very loud, high-pitched scream at the end which made my blood run cold. It was something I've never heard before, as it didn't even sound human. I have no idea how she got my number or who John is or was. Long story short, I end up getting my number changed very quickly, where I thankfully never heard or saw her again. Before I begin, I want to point out that there is something very off about my story. This took place around 12 years ago, and it's still one of the most creepiest and unexplainable experiences I've had. I'll try my best to explain my encounter in the best detail as possible. This happened when I was in my late 30s on a road trip with my mom and sister. We had all been driving cross-country somewhere in the southern U.S. Looking back, I can't remember what state it was, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was somewhere between Texas and Oklahoma. It was around 11 at night, and I remember we had found ourselves on an interstate that night in need of food and gas. Thankfully, my sister had pointed out that she had seen a sign that had a rest stop up ahead. It seemed to be the only gas station for several miles, so with no other choice, we had to stop there. We pull in, and right off the bat, we see a van full of teenagers and two men standing by a small gray car. We weren't sure as to what it was, but almost immediately, something about this place seemed very wrong. My sister and I had went inside the gas station to use the restroom, but the strange part was that there was no gas station attendant anywhere. On our way out, we had overheard the teenagers say that they had felt creeped out and that the gas pump wasn't even working. The teenagers leave in a hurry, but the two men by the car hadn't moved at all, just standing there, not talking, not on their phones, nothing. However, as my sister turned to look at the men, she had claimed to see their eyes being black, dark, and empty. The both of us get into the car and floored it out of there and didn't stop until we hit the next city. After we had made it to our destination, we had looked just about everywhere on a map, but couldn't find that gas station anywhere. We had figured that it was maybe due to the fact that it was just too small to be a location. In the next city over, we had asked around and told some of the locals about the station on the interstate. We even went out of our way to give them the exact location of it, but only got confused looks. Some people say they didn't know about it, or simply said that there was no gas station there. Overall, it was a really weird experience, and none of us can figure it out till this day. We had been down that interstate since, but had never seen that gas station again. The interstate is a very small two-lane road, so if there was something there, you would have seen it. A few days into our stay, and we had spoken to a guy who had claimed to be a trucker and had told us similar stories. In the end, we had accepted the fact that there was no rest stop there. I still get chills thinking about it till this day. Sometimes I like to think that maybe this was a dream or a deja vu episode. We don't really tell many people about this, as we'd assume most would think we're crazy or lying. Either way, this was, and still is, one of the most creepiest and unexplainable encounters we've ever experienced. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure what we saw. We even asked more locals about it too. A few months later, we learned that a family had gone missing for nearly a week near the area of the station. They were eventually found, as well as their station wagon. The strange part was that they basically abandoned their car. When they were found, they all seemed to be out of it, especially their children. They seemed sort of spacey and fuzzy. As far as we know, everyone is fine now, but I'm starting to believe they saw the same thing. However, up until now, there have been no leads, and that gas station has never been found.